The epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is from the epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that if you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may more abound in grace. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please rise for the gospel. The gospel is from the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus took unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and brought them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then Peter answered, saying to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus ends the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. This is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a very simple message that St. Paul gives us in this epistle to the Thessalonians. It's a very simple message that the church asks us to receive at this Mass. This is the will of God, your sanctification. That's the essence of the Catholic life. It's the essence of the spiritual life. God intends for us to be holy. That is sanctification, to make ourselves holy. That is the will of God. It is what God wants. And when we hear that, many people say, well, I don't know if I can do that. We know we're supposed to be holy, but there's arisen something around that word that makes us think that it's not for us. We tend to think, well, I'm just trying to make it to purgatory, much less be holy. It's not God's will that you just make it to purgatory. It's God's will that you be holy in this life. If that is God's will, it must be possible. It has to be. To think that holiness is not for us, it's too strong to say it's blasphemy. We can't say that. But it shows a certain disrespect, a certain distrust in God's will. If we examine ourselves closely on our thoughts about our own personal holiness, we're fine with other people being holy. Usually that means they'll be nicer to us. So we're all for that. But it's not for us. It's only because we have a mistaken idea of what holiness is, of what it takes to be holy. It is something that should be ordinary. We think holiness is extraordinary. It's not. Holiness should be the normal state of a Catholic. Most people in this church should be holy. Most of the people in your family should be holy. It is normal. Holiness is normal. Anxiety, dysfunction, lack of peace, those are abnormal. We don't believe that because we've fallen for the lies of the world, because we followed the world. And those are the fruits of the worldly spirit. A lack of peace, anxiety, uncertainty. What does God want? Am I doing the right thing? Am I a good enough Catholic? Gosh, all these other people are such good Catholics. I'm not. It's the spirit of the world. Sanctification is simple. It's very simple. Do your duty of state. Number one, do your duty of state. Do it as well as you can. You don't have to do it perfectly. Just do it as well as you can. If you don't know what your duty of state is, sit down. Write out, as a father, here are my duties. As a husband, here are my duties. At work, here are my duties. Do your duty of state as a Catholic. 10 Commandments, 6 precepts of the church. Then if there are other things, if you're involved in any confraternities, then those give you certain duties. Then if you have any additional duties in charity. So much for duty of state. It is so much simpler than we make it. Find a good examination of conscience. And if there's something there that you're not doing, figure out why. Sit down and write it out. Figure out why. And then start doing it. Pray. So that's duty of state. Pray. Morning and night prayers. A rosary. You say, look, I've been praying morning and night prayers for 40 years. They're a little bit stale. I know them by heart. Okay. Change them. The church tells us, pray. She offers to us these morning and night prayers, which are magnificent prayers. They're magnificent. We could keep going more deeply into them for the remainder of our lives and get more out of them. If you don't feel like you can do that, fine. Pray a litany. Pray something that has to do with the season of the year that we're in. Do a meditation. It's possible that these vocal prayers are becoming stale for you. Maybe God's asking you to start meditating. It's possible. And that's it. And the rosary. The rosary is boring, Father. Have you ever read a book on the rosary? Have you ever read The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort? Have you ever taken time on your own to meditate on the mysteries of the rosary? To read in Scripture the parts that correspond to them? There is so much more to the rosary than 99% of people know. If you think that the rosary is boring, you're wrong. You just don't know anything about the rosary. The rosary is not boring. So if you don't want to pray it because it's boring, learn about it. And then you'll see it's a different prayer than you think it is. Well, Father, you've never tried to say the rosary with 8 kids. No, I haven't. But then I go back to point number one. Do your duty of state. Teach your kids to pray the rosary. That's your duty of state. That's your prayer. Stop being anxious about, I can't pray the rosary because I'm chasing after kids. It's your duty of state. That's your prayer. Do you really think that Our Lady is looking at you saying, she's taking care of her children instead of praying my rosary? What a bad woman. We think like Protestants. Honestly, we think like Protestants. Just do your duty of state. If the kids are going crazy that day during the rosary, if the kids are going crazy every day during the rosary, take care of it peacefully, calmly. And then when you have the chance, you pray. There's no reason to become anxious about prayer. None. Prayer is for us. It is a help given to us by God. It elevates us. It makes us more peaceful. If your prayer is making you anxious, if your prayer is making you feel like you have no idea what you're supposed to do, you're missing the boat. Pray. Just tell God what you need. Tell Him the problems you're having, what you need. Make an act of confidence in His help and His grace. You're done. It's okay. That's a good prayer. Truly, it's a good prayer. Make it in the middle of screaming kids on the way to the car, at work. It doesn't matter. But just talk to God throughout the day. That's a prayer. But we have to do it throughout the day. We have to do it throughout the day. So, duty of state, prayer. Hey, a little bit of penance. Advent and Lent aren't the only times that we should do penance. You know, we all know, all of us, we have certain bad habits, things that we do. We do them all throughout the year. We're uncharitable in little ways. We're selfish in little ways. We do little things that are irritating to others. We do little things that are less than perfect. Fine, if you're perfect in all these things, you're charitable, not irritating, kind, patient. There are certainly things that you do in a less perfect manner than you could. Just pick one of them. Just pick one of them. Do it as a mortification. Do it as a mortification. This person drives me crazy. The second that I see them, I want to choke them. My penance is when I see them, I will smile. I know it's just going to look like I'm grimacing. I know that I'll be so tense, it's going to look like a grimace. I know that. But I'm going to do the best I can. It's a good penance. It's a good mortification. We have a million, you know, it's funny. People think, well, I don't know what to do for penance. I don't know what to do for mortification. Oh. The better question is, gosh, I don't know what I shouldn't be doing. There are a million things that we can do, but little things. We always look for the extraordinary. Well, I'm going to scourge myself. No. Just smile. Just say hello. Just take a little breath before you respond to this certain person. Just count to one before you open your mouth. There's a million mortifications we can do all throughout the year. Duty of state, prayer, penance. Now, running all through those is we have to know our faith. We have to know our faith. And I suspect that there are many people in this church right now who are saying, you know what, I've tried doing all of those things. And as best I can, I'm doing them. And it's not really working for me, Father. You got something better? I do. I do. I don't withdraw from anything that I've just said. But we have this virus, this disease, this plague that runs through certainly the Catholic Church, and I would go so far as to say through society, through the world today. We are crippled. We are crippled by a lack of confidence. I beg you to consider this, truly. I beg you to consider this. How many of us, when I mentioned duty of state, just got a cold shiver up our spines and like, well, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I just don't know how to do it. I'm not strong enough. I have no idea how to do that. How many of us, at the mention of prayer, you know, prayer doesn't get me anything. I never feel different. I never get better. Penance. I don't know how to do it right. I don't really like to suffer, and even when I do, I don't know how to do it right. We allow this lack of confidence to cripple our spiritual lives. Look, you've read a million times about prayer. You've read a million times about duty of state. You've read a million times about just these basic truths of our faith. You've read a million times about mortification. You've heard it preached. You've sat around eating donuts downstairs, talking as if you knew all about it and did it all the time. You know these things. You do. You know them. You just don't believe you know them well enough. In a certain secret way, we're all waiting for God to come tap us on the shoulder and say, okay, look, ready? Pay attention, because I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to give you the secret to doing your duty of state. And here's the perfect penance for you. Ready? Here it comes. Listen, are you writing this down? We don't need that. You don't need it. You know everything you need to know right now. You know it now. But we're waiting for just to hear it at the right time, when it makes us feel like, wow, that was providential to hear that at that moment. We wait for a personal invitation because we just don't have confidence that God speaks through His church, that God speaks to us in the Scriptures, that God speaks to us through just reading our catechism, doing spiritual reading. That does come under prayer, by the way, spiritual reading, Scripture reading. Come on, would it kill you to do 2 minutes of spiritual reading in the morning and 2 minutes in the evening? Would it really, really kill you? We don't think we're going to get anything out of it. It's almost as if we're slapping God in the face. St. Paul tells us, this is the will of God, your sanctification. And our Lord spent His entire life showing us how to do that. He says, pray, do penance, pick up your cross daily, and follow Me. And we don't have confidence in that. We're waiting for the personal invitation at the right time when we're feeling very, very strong and holy. We're never going to get started. We're never going to get started. Have some confidence. Have some confidence that God will give you what you need, that your weakness is actually not an obstacle to God's grace, that your lack of understanding of how to do these things that just seem like impossible obstacles to you. There's no way I can be a good mother. It's impossible. Being the father of this family is undoable. Undoable. No way it can happen. No way anybody can do it. Really? Really? Maybe for you it is, but not for God. And this is the heart of our lack of confidence, isn't it? We spend so much time looking at ourselves. We're not that interesting, truly. We're not so interesting. God is much more interesting than we are. But we're always looking at ourselves. Oh, I can't do this. I'm so weak. I'm so tempted. I don't know this. I don't know that. I did this thing in the past. I can never get over it. We need to stop looking at ourselves. We need to start looking at God. But remember, looking at ourselves also includes looking at our feelings. You know, we think our feelings are more real than God. Did we receive, after Mass, when we're thinking back on our communion, did we receive a good communion? I don't know. How do we feel? We get a little shiver up our spine, right when the priest put the host on our tongue. Get a warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. Oh, it must have been a good communion. If we didn't have that, gosh, maybe next Sunday. We receive God, body, blood, soul, divinity, in communion. Has nothing to do with how we feel. This is a fact of our faith, but we really don't have confidence in that until we have a corresponding feeling, do we? We're killing ourselves with feelings. We're killing our faith. We're cutting the legs out from our confidence in God, in the church, in our superiors, and in ourselves. Because we look at these feelings, and we think they're more real than what the church teaches. We're killing ourselves with our feelings. Start living by faith. Start living by faith, which means start living by confidence. You will receive every grace you need. I promise you that. I promise you. You just have to do your part to receive it. Just ask for it. Remove the obstacles as best you can. If you fail, here, let me remove the suspense. You will. You'll screw up. Don't worry about it. If you fail, don't look at yourself. Don't look at yourself. God knows you will fail. He just wants you to look at Him. Pick yourself up with confidence in His grace, in His mercy, in His power, and say, well, did it again. Hey, if you want this to change, I need more grace. I need your help. You are in charge. We make an act of faith. You are in charge, and I trust you. It's a good prayer. We don't make that prayer, do we? We're like St. Peter, huh? Today. He sees our Lord transfigured. He sees our Lord glorified. And he forgets it at the Passion. He betrays our Lord 3 times. This man who saw our Lord transfigured. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing. He lost his confidence. So do we. So do we. So take these times when God does give you consolations, when you have nice feelings of communion, when you have nice feelings of prayer. Enjoy them. Don't turn them away. Truly, take them. Thank God for them. And do not be troubled when they don't come. Do not be troubled by anything. I'm going to say it again. Do not be troubled by anything. You, baptized, confirmed, receiving the sacraments, being instructed, and having the opportunity to instruct yourself in this unbelievable gift that God has given the world, the Catholic faith. It's unbelievable. It's incredible, God's goodness. Even more importantly, being nourished on God, body, blood, soul, and divinity, able to receive the sacraments. Don't be troubled. You'll suffer, but don't let that suffering trouble you. We must have confidence. We must have confidence. And take that, you know, just that little, gosh, it's not even a full sentence in the gospel. The apostles see our Lord transfigured. They fall on their faces. And then just quietly it says, and looking up, they saw only Jesus. Not a bad description of our spiritual life. Looking up, we see only Jesus. It's simple. It is simple, truly. Do your duty of state. Don't fear. You wouldn't have this family, this job, this husband, this wife, these kids, these parents, whatever, unless God meant for you to sanctify yourself and them, unless He meant to give you everything you needed. Trust Him. Trust Him. Confidently. Pray. Really pray. You don't have to do anything special. It doesn't have to be special. But you gotta pray every day. We have to. We have to. It doesn't take much, but we have to pray with confidence. We have to pray with confidence. Our prayers are so anemic. They're nothing. It's just, oh God, thank you for your bounty, and I offer all my sufferings in union with the church and with my crucified Lord, and bless our leaders and our parents, my friends, my kids, and give me everything I need. I know you won't, but I'll ask anyway. It's really what they are. Come on, be honest. Be honest. You get up from prayer saying, you know what? I just talked to somebody. I just spoke to somebody. And if I don't get what I asked for, I'm getting something better. Do you have that firm conviction? You have that confidence? If not, you're not praying. It's not going to do anything for you. Believe these truths of your faith. You know them. Just don't believe them. Just don't have confidence in them. We have to have confidence. God gave us this gift to make us strong. Faith should not make you weaker. Prayer should not make you weaker. Your faith shouldn't make you walk around feeling guilty. Just a little bit of penance and mortification. Come on. Just give up a popsicle once a day. It's enough. It's enough. But just do something. Pray that rosary. And if it bores you, learn about it. She's the one who will obtain for you the graces that you need to sanctify yourself, to do the will of God. And that is His will, that you be holy. You have to believe it, because it's what you're going to be judged on. It is God's will that you be holy. And it is His will that His mother obtain those graces for you. Ask for them. And mean it when you ask for them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.